Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masech. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue with the topic of blood of a korban, of a sacrifice that's brought into the heichal. Nichnas l'chaper, third line from the top. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, it may be worthwhile for us to review the shitos, the opinions that we saw in the Mishnah, that will be the focus of this particular Gemara's discussion. So on the Mishnah, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Beis Omid Aleph, you will notice the fifth line of that Mishnah that's in the lower part of the page. The Mishnah said, Nichnas l'chaper afof bila shelo kiper, that the blood of a korban that goes into the heichal, even if it was not used for actual sprinkling in there, posel, divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that renders the korban unfit. The mere entrance of the dam to the heichal for the purpose of seeking atonement, without it actually being used. Rabbi Shimon Omer ad shiachaper. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that the mere entrance of the blood to the heichal is not sufficient for it rendering the korban posel. It has to actually be used for sprinkling for atonement purposes in the heichal itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im hichnis shogei kosher. Rabbi Yehuda said that if it entered inadvertently without intention, then it's okay. Then the korban is still kosher. Turning now to the Gemara, the Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source. As you can see, there's a framed section of Gemara that indicates in our marking system that we have a piece of Tanaic literature. The framing sets it off, distinguishes it from the rest of the Gemara text. The nosei, the topic heading that we've assigned to this, you can see in the outside margin where the word nosei appears, the topic, machlikis tanoim v'inyan psul knisis dam. The Gemara will feature, as we mentioned just before, a Tanaic controversy regarding the entrance of the dam to the heichal. Rabbi Shimon's, his opinion, davka kishezorak bifnim hu nifsal. Only if the blood was actually used in sprinkling in the heichal does it render the korban unfit. Rabbi Eliezer says, afilu b'knisa bilvad nifsal. With mere entrance, it causes the korban to be rendered unfit. Turning now to the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. We've underlined Rabbi Eliezer's name, and Rabbi Shimon's name will be underlined a little bit later, so as to highlight these two opinions. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ne'mar kan l'chaper b'kodesh. It says in our pasuk, this is the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Vav Pasuk HaVimol. This pasuk is the pasuk that features the prohibition of the dam being brought into the heichal. So it says in this posuk l'chaper b'kodesh v'nemar lahalon. It says in Vayikra Tezayin posuk Yudzayin v'chol adam lo yeh ba'oil moed b'voyoi l'chaper b'kodesh. That this posuk is found in the context of the Yom Kippur service, where the posuk warns against anyone's presence in the heichal while the kohen gadol is inside doing the Yom Kippur ritual. Now that posuk, which says v'chol adam lo yeh. Ma lahalon b'shelo kiper. That pasuk is a warning even before the Kohen Gadol does the actual sprinklings of blood in the heichal. The pasuk is saying no one should be there. So this is a pasuk that describes the situation before the actual kapora takes place. Afkan, so too with regard to our pasuk of the bringing of the dam into the heichal is b'shelo kiper. Is also the korban is rendered unfit by the mere entrance without the actual sprinkling taking place. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon has a different approach. Ne'emar kan l'chaper, v'ne'emar lahalon, v'ez par hachatos, v'ez soyer hachatos, asher huvo ez domom l'chaper. That posuk is from Vayikra Tezayin, posuk of Zayin, is talking about the chatois apnimius of Yom Kippur, the internal sin offerings of Yom Kippur. Ma lahalon b'shikiper, just like over there, the pasuk is talking about the actual sprinkling. Afkan, so to in our pasuk, which deals with the prohibition of the dam being brought into the hechal, is b'shikiper, where the blood was actually used. So that Rabbi Shimon says that the prohibition of the korban, or the ruination of the korban whose dam was brought into the hechal, this is so only if the dam was actually sprinkled in the hechal, as is derived from a word comparison to the pasuk where it said asher huva es dam lechaper, which indicates post facto where the dam was actually used. B'mai komiflagi, what's the basis of this Tanaic controversy? More sovar, Rabbi Lezer holds donin chutz michutz, v'ein donin chutz mibefnim, that one is to derive matters that are outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim one from the other, and not use a pasuk that describes the Kodesh HaKadoshim to shed light on our topic. There's a Rashi that we might take a look at together. Just a couple lines down from here, Rabbi Lezer Sovar, Donin Chutz Michutz, Dam Chatos Hachitzona, Shehakosuv Melam Decha, Shetamoid Bachutz, Velo Yach Nisuhu Lifnim, Me Odom Ze, Shakosuv Mazhiro, Shiamoid Bachutz. I'm going to learn the Chutz Michutz, as Rashi explains, is an issue of the Chatos Hachitzona blood, which we are warned not to bring into the Hechal, from another halacha concerning chutz, where the Kohanim were warned to remain b'chutz when the Kohen Gadol enters the Hechal. So those are two comparable topics. Chutz is learned from chutz. The next opinion in the Gemara, Mar Sofa Rabbi Shimon holds, Donin behemo mi behemo, that one is to learn the halachas concerning animals from halachas of animals. Namely, in our case, the blood of the chatas chitzona is derived from halachas concerning the chatas apnim, which is also a sacrifice. We ain't done in behema me'odam, but we are not to derive a halacha concerning the blood of an animal from halachas, from laws that concern people. The halacha that Rabbi Eliezer made reference to of the warning against other people being in the oyel moed when the Kohen Gadol is there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hifnis Shogeg Kosher. The Gemara goes on to infer from his Shita, Ha Mezid Pasul. However, if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the blood was brought into the Hechal knowingly, knowing that it's forbidden to bring it in, then the Korban would be rendered unfit. At this point, the Gemara will clarify Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. This we featured in our Nosei topic heading in the outside margin, Birur Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, a clarification of his opinion, De'im Hichnis Hadam B'mezid Nifsal. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the blood was brought in to the Hechal intentionally, the Korban would be rendered unfit. Ha'im B'shekiper or Yafilu Lo Kiper. Is this true only if it was actually used in the Hechal as well, or through mere entrance it becomes rendered unfit if that entrance was done intentionally? The Gemara asks, B'shekiper oy B'shelo Kiper. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Mezid Pasul is that only if the dam was used, or if it was merely brought in without being used. The Gemara answers, and the Gemara provides here a long answer, as you can see, is illustrated by our long answer marking the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this marking form the answer. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, Tanya, Rabbi Yirmiya says that the answer to this question can be found through learning the following source and the Gemara's comment that follows after. Mimashma shenemar, from that which it says, ve'es parachatos ve'es soyachatos, asher huvo es domam lechaper b'kodesh. In this pasuk, you see the word chatos repeated twice. Ma Talmud Lomar Chatos Chatos. Why is it necessary to have the word Chatos stated twice? We should have noted that we skipped this bracketed section. This is because the section of the Gemara in the brackets is not accurate and has to be redone. So now that we've said that, let's go over this piece again, but this time reading the bracketed section. The pasuk was featured. Mimashma shnei as par chatzos v'soyer chatzos shehuva as domam lechaper b'kodesh. Ma tamad lomar v'hasoreif. Why does the Torah have to tell me about its being burnt? So to this, the Gemara reacts. The Gemara itself interrupts and says, Ma tamad lomar v'hasoreif. Are you asking what is the purpose of the word v'hasoreif? Legufei itzturich. It's there to teach me about itself, that that is what one does with the korban. He burns the korban. He burns these korbanos, are the sin offerings of Yom Kippur, the special sin offerings. They are to be burnt. Rashi points out that not only are they to be burnt, but the Pasuk is telling me that the one who is engaged in burning the carcasses of these animals absorbs ritual impurity of Tumas Begodim, that even his clothing become Tomei. So therefore, there would be no room for asking what is the reason for the Torah to teach me the Hasoreif. Elo, ma tam lomar chatos chatos. Why does the word Chatas appear twice in the pasuk? Answer: Lefi shelo lamadnu el lepar b'soyer shayom kipurim shehasor foy metame begodim v'nisraf en abeis adeshen. Because the Torah teaches me the halacha of the burning and the subsequent tuma of the Yom Kippur special Yom Kippur sin offerings. How do I know that other korbanos which are supposed to be burnt, other chatois hanisrofin, how do I know that by them as well there sets in this tuma, the tuma that's described in the case of Yom Kippur? Sha'ar nisrofin minayim. From where do I know the halachas concerning the other chatois hanisrofis? Talmud Lomar, chatos chatos, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, from the extra word chatos, I now know to include other chatos offerings that are to be burnt, that they impart tumas begodim as well. Other examples of this would be the case of the par helam dover shel sibor, or the par kohen moshiach, or the seir avodas kochavim. Other examples that we just cited, other examples of nisrofim, of those types of chatos, which are to be completely burnt. And we're telling you that they too, when they are burnt, the one who is engaged in their burning, absorbs tumas begodim. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Eino Tzorech, Harehu Omer, he says, that is not necessary, for it says, Vespar chatos, Vesor chatos, She'ein tamud lomar l'chaper. The word l'chaper, he feels, is not necessary for itself. Ma tamad lomar l'chaper. What does the word l'chaper come to teach me? Limeid al kol ha-miskaprim. It tells me about all those that afford atonement. Shasorfon, that the one who's engaged in their burning, metame begodim. So as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, the word l'chaper teaches me this halacha of that the soreif of the one who burns the chatos hanisrofin absorbs tumas begodim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda did not use the word lechaper for that purpose. Rabbi Yehuda, lechaper lo mashmalei. Rabbi Yehuda did not use the word lechaper from this pasuk to teach me that. He had to use the word, the double appearance of chatos, to convey this idea that shar hanisrofim metamei begodim. My time, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda did not use the word lechaper for this purpose? Lav mishum de meboyalei legzera shava. Is it not that he needed it for the gezera shava? Now, this gezera shava was seen above, and we saw that it teaches me that the psul of bringing the blood into the hechal, and we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda right now, the psul that Rabbi Yehuda spoke about, that if it's brought in intentionally, the korban is rendered unfit only if it was actually used for the sprinkling. This we saw above under in Rabbi Shimon's name, And in order to make things a little easier to find, you can take advantage of the little arrows that we've put into the side of the Gemara, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, where you see opposite this line, this last line where we said Ligzera Shava, and the arrow above pointing to the line where you see Rabbi Shimon's name appeared, where he said Nemar Kan Lechaper, etc. And just like over there, we saw the word Lechaper was Bishikiper, where it was where the blood was actually used for sprinkling. So too, Rabbi Yehuda understands the use the blood in the same way that the bringing in of the blood to the Heichal intentionally will render the korban unfit if it's used for sprinkling. But the mere bringing in of the blood alone, even if it's done intentionally, will not render the blood, the korban, unfit according to Rabbi Yehuda. With that, we conclude the 8th perek and now begin the 9th perek of Svachim. Hamizbeach mekadesh es horoi lo. The mizbeach sanctifies that which is fit. Of course, what the definition of that which is fit will be the subject of a machlokas tanoim that the Mishnah will feature. And when we speak about the mizbeach is mekadesh, that the mizbeach sanctifies, it means that even though you're dealing with something that's currently problematic, if it's brought onto the mizbeach, it is not to be brought down. That's this concept of the mizbeach sanctifies. Rashi, on at the beginning of the perek, underneath the Gemara, you can see Hamizbeach Mekadesh. The Mizbeach sanctifies a filu dover posel, even something that's unfit. She'olu the Mizbeach, that's brought up to the top of the Mizbeach, kitshoi Hamizbeach, le'asus lachmo. It becomes like the food, the bread of the Mizbeach, the ein moridin oso, and we don't bring it down. The next Rashi says, es haroi lo, and he points out, mishe huvror lechelkoi. Once the portion that's destined for the Mizbeach has been clarified or identified, Uva Gemara Meforesh, the Gemara will explain, Limute, that this expression is coming to exclude Kemotzim Shelo Kitchu B'Kli Lachar Kemitza. In a meal offering, a handful of the meal offering is taken off of the of the batter or of the bowl concerning the baked goods, the baked meal offering, and after the handful is taken off, this handful is then placed in a second kli sharis, a second service vessel. In the event that the kemitza, the handful, was not placed in the second service vessel, we say that the portion for the mizbeach has not been huvrar. That's what the Rashi says, Shelo huvru l'cheli gavoa. The avalav the kitcha mincha. Even though the mincha was sanctified initially, kula, completely, bikli, in a service vessel, ein zecheli gavoa, barur. This is not the section or the portion that is for the Almighty. Shena mincha kreva kula. The entire mincha, generally speaking, is not offered. It's only the handful of the mincha that's offered, generally speaking. Ubekmitza balo matan kli einzem vur l'mizbeach. The mere taking of the handful alone, without its being placed into a second service vessel, the portion for the mizbeach is thereby considered unclarified or unidentified as of yet. So that kind of thing is called eino roi lo. So the mizbeach would not mekadesh a kemitza that was not placed into a second service vessel. Before we go further, let's just take advantage of our topic heading that we have in the outside margin, the nosei, where we featured machlokes tanoim, a tanaic controversy, the hagdir, to identify or to categorize ma nikro lo roi le mizbeach. What is considered fit for the mizbeach? That which we can identify as roi the mizbeach will sanctify. Shim alo lo yered, that if it is subsequently brought onto the mizbeach, it shall not be brought down. Afilu im nifsal, even if it's become unfit, mitnei shamizbeach mekacho, because the mizbeach has a power to sanctify even that which has a problem, which causes the item, the korban, the sacrifice, to be unfit. So all of these ideas have to be clarified. What are we talking about? So in order to clarify this, you'll see Rabbi Yoshua explains what Ro'i Lo means, and Rabbi Gamliel, a few lines later, will also explain, give us his opinion as to what Ro'i Lo includes. So the Mishnah opens up with a title that the Mizbech is Mekadesh Es HaRo'i Lo, and as we just mentioned, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel will serve to explain that term. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol HaRo'i Le'ishim. The word Ishim is the plural of the word Esh. It means items that are destined to be placed in the fire on the Mizbech. Im Ola Lo Yered. If it's brought up onto the Mizbech, that which is destined for the fire, even if something wrong, some psul sets in, some problem sets in, it nevertheless is not to be brought off the Mizbech. Shenemar, He Ho'ilo Al Moikdo. Ma Oilo Shehi Ro'i Le'ishim. Just like a Korban Ola, Ola sacrifice is something that's placed in the fire. Im Olsa Lo Tere. If it's brought on the Mizbech, it shall not be brought down. Af kol shu roi leishim. So to anything else that's destined to be placed in the fire, im ola, if it's brought on the mizbeach and some problem developed, loy yered, it's not to be brought down. Rabban Gamliel Omer, kol haroi lemizbeach, anything fit for the altar. Notice, he doesn't speak about fit for the fire, but anything fit to be brought on the altar, im olo lo yered. If it's brought up, it shall not be brought down, even though that which was brought up is already is posel. Shenemar, hi ho'oilo al moikdo al hamizbeach. Ma oilo shi ru'uya lemizbeach. Just like a korban ola, an ola sacrifice is fit for the mizbeach. Im also lo tered, if it's brought up on the mizbeach, even if some problem arose, it still is not to be brought down. Af kol davar shehu roi lemizbeach, im also lo tered. So to anything else that can be defined as fit for the altar, if it's brought up, even though it may be posel, it's not to be brought down, as we said, because the altar sanctifies it. Ein bein divrei Rabban Gamliel ledivrei Rabbi Yeshua elo hadam v'anesochim. There's no difference between Rabbi Gamliel's approach, which emphasized Roi L'Mizbeach, and Rabbi Yeshua's approach that emphasized Roi L'Ishim, except for blood and Nesachim, are liquid offerings, which include wine and water. Those are items, the blood and the Nesachim, are items that are fit for the altar, but not placed in the fire. Shalomiel Omer Lo Yerdu. Shalomiel will tell you that if you have dam or nesachim that became posel, they are to remain on the mizbeach after they are brought up there. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yerdu. Rabbi Yeshua would say, well, since they're not fit for the fire, if they are brought on the mizbeach, they are to be brought down in the event, of course, that they are posel. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hazevach Kosher Vanesachim Psulim. If you have a situation where the korban is kosher and the nesachim are unfit, or hanesachim ksherim vazevach posel, where the nesachim are okay but the korban became unfit, afilu ze vezeh psulim, even if both the korban and the nesachim are posel, hazevach lo yered vanesachim yerdu. The mizbeach is mekadesh the korban, the sacrifice, but not the Nesachim. Rashi is found on the top of Omid Beis. That means if you turn the page over at the top, you have Rashi that really belongs on the lower part, on the bottom of Omid Aleph, but Rashi there says, V'Nesachim Yerdu, She'en HaMizbech Mekadesh Psulim, Elo Beboin Beglal Atzmon. The altar has a power to sanctify even that which is unfit, but only those things that come in and of themselves, that come on their own merit. Avolo haboyin beglal achirim, but not things that come because of something else. And the nesachim are items that are described as coming along with, they accompany a sacrifice. The common wine offering is something that comes along with a sacrifice. Therefore, the mizbeach, since the nesachim are something that comes along with something else, they accompany a primary sacrifice, they themselves are not going to be sanctified by the mizbeach in the event that they are posel. The Gemara at the top of Amud Beis, Roi lo in, She'ein roi loi loi. We said in the Mishnah that the altar sanctifies that which is fit for it. That is true, and that which is not fit for it, which means for our purposes, something that was never roi for the Mizbeach, according to all, that the Mizbeach will not sanctify. What limute mai? What are we excluding by this opening? The inference from the opening line of the Mishnah, we are coming to exclude something that the Mizbeach will not sanctify. What is that? Amara Papa, limute kmatzim shelo kitchu bekli. We are coming to exclude the handful of meal offerings that was not placed in its second service vessel. Such items, kmatzim like that, kmatzim that were not sanctified in its special service vessel, if it's brought on the Mizbeach, it's to be brought down. Maskiflo Ravino. Ravino asks, Maishno mide'ula. What is different about this kemitza that did not receive sanctification in its special service vessel from Ula's teaching? Before we go on with the question itself, let's glance at the outside margin under our no-say topic heading. Kemotzim shelo kitchu bekli, the handfuls of meal offerings that were not subsequently sanctified in their special service vessel, the nifsalu, and the kometz that was not placed in its service vessel, became posel. Im olu yerdu ledivrei kol. If they're brought on the mizbeach, they are to be brought down according to all opinions. This halach is benigud the emure kachim kalim to is in contrast to the halacha of the innards of light level sacrifices, light level sanctity sacrifices. Shehelon lufnei zrikas daman, if they, the innards, were brought on the mizbeach prior to the blood sprinkling, which really is not the right way things should be done. The emurim, the innards of sacrifices, are brought on the mizbeach after the blood sprinkling. But let's say they were brought on the mizbeach on the altar before the blood sprinkling. Their Ula's teaching is im alu lo yerdu. If they are brought up, they do not come down. Now we're trying to make in raising this question, we're paralleling the kemitza that was not placed in its kli shares with a murim that were brought onto the Mizbeach prior to the Zrikas Adam. So this situation of prior to Zrikas Adam is parallel to prior to the Koimetz being put into its Kli Shores. Let us now raise the question in the Gemara. Third line from the top, Maskif lo Ravino, Mai Shno Midula. What is different about the Kmotzim Shelo Kitchu Bekli from the Din of Ula? Diyama Ula, Emure Kotchim Kalim, Shehelon Lifnei Zrikas Domon, the innards of Kotchim Kalim that are brought onto the Mizbeach before Zrikas Adam, Lo Yerdu. They are not to be brought, taken off the Mizbeach. Nasu lachmoi shel mizbeach. They've become considered like the bread or the food of the mizbeach. They're considered absorbed by the mizbeach, so to speak, kept on the mizbeach. What's the difference? Why, by the emuri kochikalim before zrikas dam, do they stay up, and the kaimetz, the fnei kitcha bekli, is to be brought down? Answer: Hanoch, in the case of the emurim, lo mechsuru maise begufayu. There is nothing lacking in and of themselves. As far as the innards are concerned, the innards are the same, whether it's before Zrikas Adam or after Zrikas Adam, it's the same innards. Therefore, they are not taken off the Mizbeach. However, honey, with regard to the handful, the kmitza, that didn't receive it's Kedusha's Kli, Mechseru Maisa B'Gufayo. They're lacking an action that is to be done to the Koimetz itself. As opposed to the Emurim, the only thing that was lacking was the Zrikas Adam that was supposed to be done on the Mizbeach. But that's not an action that pertains or that is done to the innards themselves. The Zrikas Adam is an independent substance that's supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. There it's an issue, we'll say, of improper timing. But here, with regard to the Koimetz, it's not a function of improper timing. It's a function of an action that wasn't done to the Koimetz itself. That's considered a more serious chisaron, a serious lacking. And therefore, the kmitza of the mincha that's brought on the mizbech before it's received its kedushas kli, it is to be taken off. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol haroi leishim v'chulei. We saw in our Mishnah a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rav Gamliel regarding what is considered ro'ui. Rabbi Yeshua spoke about that which is fit for the fire, and Rav Gamliel spoke about that which is fit for the mizbeach. The Mishnah cited psukim. When we saw the Mishnah, it said hi ha'oilo al moikdo, and that same pasuk goes on to say al hamizbeach. The word mokda is a term referring to the fireplace on the Mizbeach. The fire, the pyre that's burning on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua understood from the presence of the word mokda that only those things that are considered fit or destined to be put in the fire, if they're brought on the Mizbeach, they are not to be taken down. Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara now turns to ask regarding Rabbi Gamliel, who was willing to include even things that are not destined for the fire, like the liquid offerings that are placed on the top of the mizbeach, poured onto the side or in tubes on the top of the mizbeach, but not having nothing to do with the fire. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Gamliel, "Nami hoksiv oilo al mokda?" According to Rabbi Gamliel, does the pasuk not feature the fireplace, which is mashma only that which is fit for the fire? So the Gemara answers, "Hahu laduri pokin huda asa." Rav Gamliel uses the mokda word to teach another halacha, that namely the situation of things that are pokin, that were in the fire and jumped out of the fire. If something is placed in the fire on the mizbeach, and because of the crackling of the wood and the fire, things tend to jump out of the fire, they're to be returned, placed back in the fire. V'idach. La dure pokin min ole, Rabbi Yeshua, where does he learn the idea of la dure pokin from, to return those things that jumped out of the fire? Answer, nafgale me asher toichal ha'esh. He learns it from that posuk. V'idach, Rabbi Gamliel, hahu mi boyale, he needs asher toichal ha'esh for the following, le'ikule oilo atomachsir, v'atomachsir ikule teres. That when we talk about putting things back into the fire, we're talking about putting sacrifices that jump out of the fire back into the fire, as opposed to fragments of the incense, the incense material. If, let us say, the incense is burning, and as a result of the fire crackling, pieces of incense jump out of it, they are not to be put back into the fire. D'toni Rabbi Chanino bar Menyumi, b'debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Chanina presents the following teaching. Asher tochalo esh es ha'oilo al ha'mizbeach. Ikule oilo atomachsir. The portions of the ola that are burning and jump out of the fire, they are to be put back into the fire. Ikule is a word referring to that which is consumed by the fire. So things that are being consumed in the fire that are ola related, those you return to the fire. V'atomachsir ikule k'tores. But in the case of the incense that's burning and pieces of that jump out, those are not placed back into the fire. V'idach, Rabbi Yeshua. Well, Rabbi Yeshua, would he not understand the pasuk as Rabbi Gamliel just presented it? In other words, Asher Tochaloesh is coming to exclude the Ola. So Rabbi Yeshua before, who used Asher Tochal to tell me the halacha of Hadure Pokin, Does he not? Wouldn't he use it for Rav Gamliel's teaching? So the Gemara says, in effect, yes, he would use it for Rav Gamliel's teaching that only Ola things you return and not Keturah things. But in the same breath, you see that Ola things are to be placed back into the fire. V'idach, Rabbi Yeshua says, Lav memelo shamas mina. Do you not derive from this anyway the ikule Ola mehadrinan, that the items or the pieces of meat of an Ola or other sacrifices, Ola is the only sacrifice whose meat is placed in the fire. So it's the meat of an Ola that's to be put back on. That you do learn from this. In other words, let's go over this point again. Looking at things through Rav Gamliel's eyes, he looked at this pasuk Asher Toichal Ho'esh and said, we learn from this that only Ikule Ola you put back, and you do not put back Ikule Ktoras. The Gemara is pointing out that Rabbi Yeshua would accept that as well. But in the course of teaching that, you do see that ikule ola you are machzir, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua said that asher tochal comes to teach. So it comes to teach me that, in addition to that which Rabbi Gamliel says that ikule keturas you're not machzir. Rabbi Gamliel omer kol haroi lemizbeach. Now Rabbi Gamliel saw this, his point of view, because the pasuk features the word al mokto al miz al hamizbeach, which Mizbeach, according to Rav Gamliel, included even Nisachim that are brought on the Mizbeach. If something happens to them, they are not to be brought down. Or let us say more accurately, even if something happens to them, they are not to be taken off. Rabbi Yeshua Nami Hoksiv Mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua, who limited the halacha to things fit for the fire, but does it not say the word Mizbeach, which should include more? The Gemara answers, Hahu Miboya Lei, Rabbi Yeshua needs the word Mizbeach as follows. Mai Ko'oma Rachmona, Kol Haroi Lemoikto Mekadesh Mizbeach. The word Mizbeach for Rabbi Yeshua is used to explain the halacha. Namely, why is it that things are not taken off the Mizbeach? Because the Mizbeach sanctified it. So if we read that phrase again, Kol Haroi Lemokta, things that are fit for the fireplace, Mekadesh Mizbeach. So the word Mizbeach, as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, is not describing items, but it's more describing why. It's giving a reason for why those items that are fit for the fire remain on the Mizbeach, even if some psul arose, because the Mizbeach sanctifies it. The Idach, Rabbi Gamliel, does he not need to teach this as well, that the Mizbeach sanctifies? So he says, Mizbeach achrino ksiv. There's a pasuk that says, Kol ha-negea b'mizbeach yikdosh. So from that pasuk, Rabbi Gamliel derives this idea that the Mizbeach has sanctification powers to cover even items that are pasul. The Idach, Rabbi Yeshua, what does he do with the presence of the extra Mizbeach word? Chad lehecha dehoysa lo shas ha-kosher. V'chad lehecha delo hoysa lo shas ha-kosher. The Mizbeach has the power to sanctify not only items that were once fit and became unfit. For example, a korban whose time lapsed, or a korban that was done properly and was taken out of the Azora, or a korban that was done properly and became Tome. Those are examples of things that had a Shas HaKosher, had a point in time that they were fit and subsequently something went wrong. There's another situation of things that did not have a shasa kosher, and the examples for that in this context are things that whose shechita was done with an incorrect mindset. He had a chutz lizmano or chutz lemkomo, and he had improper thoughts regarding time and place, so that even at the outset, the korban was rendered unfit. Nevertheless, if those are brought on the Mizbeach, they are to remain. And this idea is learned from the extra word Mizbeach. The Idach, Rav Gamliel, how does he deal with the idea just mentioned of even things that lo hois lo shasa kosher? He says, Kevon dipsulin ninu v'rabinu rachmona, since they too are posel, and the Torah includes psulim as being restrained to the top of the mizbeach, namely if they're brought on the up, they're not to be brought down. Once we know that the Torah is marbe, includes even psulim lo shno yisla shasak kosher, lo shno lo yisla shasak kosher. There's no need to make a distinction whether it had a shasa kosher or even if it did not. They are all included under the same general inclusion of psulim that the mizbeach is mekadesh. Rabbi Shimon Oimer hazevach kosher. Rabbi Shimon went on to teach that a korban that has an accompanying Nesachim offering with it, if something, if they become posel and are brought onto the Mizbeach, Rabbi Shimon taught us that the Zevach remains on the top, but the Nesachim are to be brought down. Once again, Rabbi Shimon's halacha concerned the Nesachim that are, that come along with a Zevach. We saw this point described by Rashi on the top of this Amid, where Rashi pointed out that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh Psulim that come in and of themselves, and not those that come along with something else. So our Gemara continues, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Oila, the word Ola, he darshins, Ma Oila habo biglal atzmo, af kol haboin biglal atzmon. Just like an Ola is that which comes on its own merit, in and of itself, a person can dedicate an animal to be brought as an ola, and it's that kind of thing that the pasuk says, if it's brought on the mizbeach, is not to be brought down. So to anything else that comes on its own, that has that characteristic, that it comes on its own, af kol haboin b'glal atzmon, yotzu nesachim haboin b'glal zevach, to the exclusion of nesachim that come as an accompaniment to a korban, to a zevach, if they are brought on the top of the mizbeach and they became posel, they are to be brought down. They're to be taken off the mizbeach. Tanya, Rav Yosi Aglili Omer. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side of our Gemara. We have a Noseya topic heading. Oid Shnei Tanoim Hamaviyim Mekuros. Another two Tanoim, we'll see here, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, that bring sources from psukim, mehapsukim, kedei likboa, mashayach ledin, imolo lo yered, to establish what is included in this particular law that, if brought up, shall not come down. Rabbi Yossi Aglili cites the word kevosim, and Rabbi Kiva cites the word oila. Let's see how they present their opinions. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, mitoch shenemar, kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. From the fact that the pasuk says anything that has contact with the altar becomes sanctified, shmini bein roi bein sheina roi, I would think to include whether something that's fit for the altar or even things that are not fit for the altar. Talmud lomar kvosim. Therefore, the pasuk says in pasuk lamed ches says the word kvosim. The first pasuk that the Brisa cited was pasuk lamed zayin. The subsequent pasuk says, and we've included it on the side of the Gemara, v'zer asher ta'aseh al mizbeach kivosim b'nei shana shnayim layoim tomid. So in the pasuk that follows from kol hanogea b'mizbeach yikdash, you see the word kivosim. Ma kivosim ru'uyim, just like kivosim, sheep, are items that are fit for the mizbeach, af kol ro'uy, so too anything that's fit, as opposed to that which is not fit, if it's brought on the mizbeach, it is to be taken down. Rabbi Kiva omer oila, ma oila ru'uya, af kol ru'uya. He cites the word ola that's found in posuk membeis as defining that which, if brought up, shall not come down. Mai binayu, what is the difference between Rabbi Yosef Lili's presentation and Rabbi Akiva's presentation? Before we go further in the Gemara, we want to take note of this double underline with dots in it. By glancing to the outside margin, you see the Mivneh, the structural note, you have a double underline with dots featured. My binayu, the Gemara will be clarifying what is the difference between. So number one, bein Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Kiva, the difference between the two opinions we just saw. Rabbi Yosef Glili, who cited Kvasim as the defining factor, and Rabbi Kiva, who cited Ola as the defining factor. And a further question will arise, bein Tanoim Shel Habraisa, the Tanoim Shel HaMishnah. Well, what is the difference between the Tanoim that we see in the Braisa? We see Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva, and we also had Tanoim in the Mishnah. We saw Rabbi Shimon, and we saw in our Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yoshua, we had Rabbi Gamliel, also defining things that are fit for the Mizbeach. So let's continue now in our analysis of the differences between the different Tanoim. My binayu. What is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Omar of Ado Bar Avo, Oilas Ho'oif Psulo Iko Binayu. The word Iko Binayu we featured in a diamond, and you can see we've done that again later on the Omid, where the Gemara highlights the point of difference. So Rav Ado says that a bird offering, an Ola bird offering that became Pasul, will be the point of difference. More, Rabbi Akiva, Maisi Lo Me'Ola, he defines fit for Mizbeach using the word Ola. Now, an Ola self is also an Ola, and therefore, if it's brought on the Mizbeach and some problem arose, it's not to be taken off. Or more, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Maisi Lo Mikvasim. He defines the halacha by citing the word kvasim. The word kvasim is a reference to sheep, which is an example of animals and not birds. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, an oila sa'oif sula, if brought on the mizbeach, will be taken down. Ulaman de Maisi Lo Mikvasim. Rabbi Yosef Glili, who defines based on the word kvasim, and says that an oaf will be yored, is taken off. Hoksiv Ola, does it not use the word Ola as well? Which we saw had the power to include the bird in that which is brought on should stay. And Rabbi Yosef Glili says that the Ola's oaf is taken off. Iksiv Kvasim, Rabbi Yosef Glili answers, had the Torah used just the word Kvasim velo Ksiv Ola, I would have thought, Havi Amino Afilu Mechayim, I would have thought even an animal that's brought up on the Mizbeach alive is to remain there. Kosav Rachmona Oila. Therefore, the Torah uses the word Ola, which indicates when it's Ro'i to be brought up. So the word Ola, as far as Rabbi Yosef Glili is concerned, is not here to include Ola Sa'of Psula, but rather it's coming to instruct us that only slaughtered animals, if they're brought onto the Mizbeach and a psul arose, are to be brought down. But we're not going to include living animals. So the word Ola means Mishiroi Lalos, from the point that it's fit to be brought up, not referring to any specific additional sacrifices. Ulaman Demaisi Lomi Oila, according to Rabbi Akiva, who defined the halacha based on the word Ola, and therefore the case of the Oif was Lo Yered, Ha'oksiv kvasim. Does the Torah not also use the word kvasim, which we saw before would exclude birds? So the Gemara answers for Rabbi Kiva. Iksiv oila velo ksiv kvasim. Had the Torah used the word ola alone without kvasim, hava mina filo mincha, I would have thought that even in the case of a mincha, if it's brought on the mizbeach and a psul happened, it is to remain there. Therefore, Kosev Rachmona Kvasim, the Torah uses the word Kvasim indicating an animal to exclude only a mincha, but not an oaf. That a mincha, if it became possible, according to Rabbi Akiva, is the mincha is to be brought down. Now, the Gemara asks, again, a distinction question. Ma iko bein hani tanoi lahani tanoi de masnisin. What is the difference between the Tanoim of the Braisa, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Kiva, and the Tanoim of the Mishnah we saw Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua? Just to review, we saw Rabbi Yeshua spoke about Roy Leishim, Rabbi Gamliel spoke about Roy Lemizbeach, and we have Rabbi Yosef Glili who cites Kvosim as a defining factor, and Rabbi Kiva cited Ola. What's the difference between these opinions? The Gemara goes on. Amar Papa, Kmotzim Shikichu Bekli Iko Binayu. Meal offerings, the handful taken off, then placed in its service vessel, the second service vessel, and they became pusul, and a psul developed, will be a point of difference. Latana didon lo yerdu. According to the Tanoim of the Mishnah, they will not be taken off, because they're both fit for the Mizbeach, and they're also fit for the fire. Latana de masnisa yerdu. However, according to the Tanoim in the Brisa, where the emphasis was placed on living creatures, animals or birds, but certainly they would exclude the case of an inanimate item such as a meal offering. The Rashi points out at the end, the Tana de Masnisa, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Akiva, Yerdu. Why? The Oila Bo'inon. An Ola is what is a requirement. It has to have a characteristic that we can define as Ola, Avo Mincha Tered. But the word Ola serves to exclude a meal offering. A meal offering is not brought as an Ola. As we continue in the Gemara, we'll notice some new markings. We have triangles that contain numbers and a standard double underline. These are explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. We have the double underline featuring Arba Dugmos, four Dugmos, four examples, Shehevi Reish Lakish, four examples that Reish Lakish presents. The Roman numeral number one, Mincha Habo'o, Bifnei Atzmo or Im Hazevach, a mincha, a meal offering brought on its own or together with another sacrifice, as an accompanying sacrifice. And number two, Roman number two, will feature the liquid offerings, Nisachim Havoyim Bifnei Atzmon or Im Hazevach, drink offerings, wine offerings that come either on their own, one dedicates a quantity of wine on its own, or as is brought together with a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. Omar Reish Lakish, Mincha Habo Bifnei Atzma. A mincha offering that is dedicated on its own, not as a part of an animal sacrifice. Let us say it's brought onto the Mizbeach and something happened to it, making it posel. L'divrei kulon lo tered. The word kulon is a tricky expression. It means, according to most opinions, if it's brought on the Mizbeach, it shall not come down. L'divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili v'Rabbi Akiva tered. But according to these two Tanoim, the mincha that's brought before us will come down. Let's not forget, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva used the word either kvasim or ola, which will exclude a meal offering from this halacha of im ola lo yered. Therefore, they will hold a mincha bofnei atzmo that became pasul im ola yered. Another example, mincha habo im hazevach. What will the halacha be regarding a mincha that comes along with a sacrifice? L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, lo tered. The mincha offering is something that's destined to the fire. So according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, this mincha that comes along with the zevach will become part of the mizbeach, lachmo shel mizbeach, become a kudosh and stay on. L'divrei kulon tered. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon, this kind of thing, the mincha b'ofnei im hazevach, will come down. As we mentioned before, as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are concerned, they are not considered ola. The mincha is not an ola. And according to Rabbi Shimon as well, since it is something that's coming as an accompaniment, it will not stay on the mizbeach if it became posel. Nisachim haboyim b'fnei atzmon. These are now wine offerings that are dedicated on their own, that are independent of an animal offering. L'divrei kulon yerdu. L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, lo yerdu. According to most of the opinions, if the nesachim aboyim b'fnei atzmon become posel, they are to be brought taken off the Mizbeach. However, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon, they are not to be taken off the Mizbeach. We saw Rabbi Gamliel spoke about that which is Roy LeMizbeach, so these are Roy LeMizbeach. And according to Rabbi Shimon, he spoke about things that are not brought as an accompaniment. Well, these are not brought as an accompaniment, therefore the Mizbeach will Mekadish them. New examples. Nisachim HaBoim Im HaZevach. These are the drink offerings that are brought as an accompaniment to the korban. L'divrei kulon yerdu, l'divrei ramul chudei lo yerdu. According to almost all of the opinions, the nisachim avoyim mizbeach will be taken off the mizbeach. With the exception of Rabbi Gamliel alone, they will remain on the mizbeach. And of course, Rabbi Gamliel was the opinion that held, we saw him in the Mishnah, that which is fit for the Mizbeach. So even though these accompany a Zevach, nevertheless, they are fit for the Mizbeach. So if they became possible, they will not be taken off. We might note that we have a little chart that accompanies this Sukkiah. You can see in the margin, making it possible to review each particular shita and what they hold regarding the different cases of the Menachos and the Nesachim. The Gemara says that once we know the basis of all the different Tanoim, we have five Tanoim, we have Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Shimon. Once we know the basis of each one's shita, then all of these examples seem to be obvious. They seem to be something self-understood. It's just a function of applying the different principle to each case. The question then is, what is Reish Lakish revealing to us that we couldn't have figured out on our own? The Gemara asks Pshita. It seems to be obvious or simple. In order to answer the question of Pshita, you'll notice we have a new geometric form, a trapezoid or volcano shape. And we explain this under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You'll see two of these in the sugya. Shlavim, these are stages, lahashiv al hashela pshita, two stages in attempting to answer the question of, well, what is Rabbi Reish Lakish really coming to tell us about? So the Gemara answers with a citation of the Roman case in Roman numeral number 1, Aleph, which was the case of mincha habo b'fnei atzmo, the case of the independent mincha offering, it's the richa lei, I need Reish Lakish's teaching, uchidu rava. The Omar rava, misnadev oda minchas nesachim b'chol yoyim. Reish Lakish featured in his examples the scenario of someone dedicating a mincha on its own. And rava teaches us that a person can offer a mincha without a zevach. So the Gemara asks, if that's what Reish Lakish's goal is, v'nish ma'inon k'derava. Reish Lakish should have just taught the halacha straight out like Rava. Namely, he should have said, misnadiv oda minchas nisachim b'chol yom. The Gemara answers, therefore, what is Reish Lakish really coming to teach us? So we cite the Roman numeral number 2, case Bays. The case of Nisochim Haboim Imazevach, it's the Richa Lei. I need Reish Lakish to inform me concerning the different Tanaic opinions regarding this case. Nisochim, the wine offerings that accompany a Zevach. It's the Richa Lei. Why? Dekal Mikrav Luhu Lemochulimu Achra. The nature of the wine offering that accompanies a Zevach is such that if one did not bring the required drink offering together with the sacrifice, he has an option of bringing it the next day or many days later. In effect, even though the obligation evolves as a result of his initial dedication of the animal sacrifice, nevertheless, the actual bringing of the drink offering can be accomplished independently. So, since we know that nisachim, that are part of an animal offering, the actual bringing of the wine can be done on a separate day, I would have thought, without Reish Lakish, hoyel v'yomamar minchosu miniskeim balaylo, minchosu miniskeim lemochar, since we darshan the pasuk of Ninchasim Iskam to teach me that they can be brought at night, which is unusual with regard to standard sacrificial procedure, which is usually limited to the day. But the drink offerings can be brought at night, and they can be brought even on a day later, the lamachar, meaning on a time other than the day you're actually bringing the sacrifice that these are to accompany. Therefore, kinesachim aboyim b'fnei atzmon domu. I might have perceived, or I might have categorized these as independent nesachim offerings. Umodi Reb Shimon de lo yerdu. And Reb Shimon's shita is that those kind of sacrifices that do not accompany, that are brought on their own merit, if brought on the Mizbech, they are not to be taken off. So I might have thought to categorize Nisachim Eboim HaZevach, since they have this time flexibility, as maybe I should categorize them as if they are Nisachim Eboim HaFnei Atzmon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, if they're brought on the Mizbeach and they become Pasul, they are not to be brought down. Komashim Lon, therefore Reish Lakish comes to teach me that according to Rabbi Shimon, these remain categorized as boyim imazevach. They are merely accompanying offerings. And therefore, even if, or even though there is an option of bringing them independently, time-wise, since their initial dedication was as part of a sacrifice, they are considered merely accompanying type sacrifices, the wine accompanier, and therefore, if it becomes pusel, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is to be taken off the Mizbeach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.